And I still believe that these problems can be solved.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death!
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
This is The Political Show.
Hey, 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 and welcome to The Political Show right here on Active FM, where radio has never been better. I'm your girl Cynthia, but you know you can call me Gix. And with me in studio we have
Gavin Inslin.
Pastor Gavin Inslin. And we have a very special guest with us who will introduce himself just now. But right here on The Political Show, where Christ Politics is
Hot Politics.
Hot Politics. And this week's Hot Politics, we are interviewing a special guest. And I'll just hand it over to him to give an introduction.
Well, Cynthia and Pastor Gavin, good morning to you and to all your viewers and followers. Thank you very much for inviting me to share this program with you this morning. My name is Reverend Kenneth Meshwe, the leader of the African Christian Democratic Party, better known as the ACDP. And I'm delighted to be with you. I'm a member of parliament, leader of political party, and senior pastor of Hope of Glory Tabernacle in Vosloorus. So I have my hands in many things that are happening in our country because we love our country and we want to make sure that it works and it becomes one of the best countries in the world.
Yes, awesome. And if you haven't guessed it, the show this week is going to be an interview with Reverend Meshwe. And so it's not going to be on a specific topic. We're just going to have a conversation speaking about the different things happening in South Africa to get Reverend Meshwe's thoughts on this stuff. And yeah, it's going to be an interesting show. As always, right here on The Political Show. Or Pascal, do you want to say anything else?
Yeah, just to mention, I mean, normally I try and come across as not being biased. I'm biased in favor of the Bible.
Yes.
But Reverend Kenneth Meshwe and the ACDP, I voted for them in every election since 1994 because they're the only ones.
Wonderful. So good to hear that.
I'm not supposed to say that, but I'm going to say that because I need to vote for Bible values. Otherwise, I'll give my mandate to someone that's willing to do something that's, sometimes pretty evil.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately for me, I can't vote yet. But I will be able to vote soon. It's going to be a very interesting show right here on The Political Show where Christ Politics is.
Hot Politics.
Hot Politics. So we are here in The Political Show with Reverend Meshwe, who is joining us on via Zoom, and we're just going to have an interesting chat about a few topics. I'm very interested to hear your thoughts on these topics, and yeah, it's going to be awesome. So the first question that we have for you, Rev, is the ACDP is obviously a Christian-based party, and the statistics show that around 83 to 85% of South Africans are Christians. Well, that's what they tick on the polls and things like that.
Well, the census.
The census and stuff.
In 2022, I think it was.
Yeah. However, the ACDP only holds 3 seats in the parliament. So from your perspective, why do you think the ACDP hasn't garnered a broader electoral support despite the country's demographics? Our religious demographics?
Well, thank you for that important question. Firstly, an observation to make. when census are taken, the question that is asked is, which religion, if you are religious, do you subscribe to? Which religion do you follow or support or agree with? And the majority of people, including Sangomas, okay, they believe in the Christian faith. Okay, so in this 80% you're talking about, they include people who never even set their foot in a church. But people who just favor a religion because in their homes they grew up, parents and grandparents following this specific religion. So it is not a fact, it is not true that 80% of South Africans are Christian. They subscribe to the Christian faith. Some of them because they are given names that are in the Bible, Moses, Joseph, and so on. Okay, so people who are, according to scriptures, born again, the statistics tell us there are less than 10% in South Africa who are born again. So if we are going to be judged accurately because of what we stand for, that's why many people don't like what we stand for. Because one of the issues that some people don't appreciate that the ACDP is saying, we say we believe in two genders. Why? Because that's what we find in the Bible.
Yeah.
Okay, we believe that life starts at conception because God knows us from the womb of our mothers. So life starts there. That's why women or ladies who are pregnant have to go to clinics, have to go to doctors to go and check monthly the health of the baby. Okay, if at all what was in the womb was not a baby, then there would not be a necessity for a monthly checkup to make sure that the baby is okay. So many don't agree with us when we say life starts at conception, and you don't have the right to kill a human being. And some would say, no, it's not a human being. For as long as they're hiding in the womb of their mother, we don't count them as a human being. So there are a number of reasons why some people do not agree with our standpoint. Maybe let me mention one more that some people think is controversial. That, okay, the scriptures talk about marriage between a man and a woman.
Yeah.
Not a man and a man or a woman and a woman, but a man and a woman, okay? And because the Word of God emphasizes the importance of marriage, we say it is not right for two unmarried people to live together if they are Christians.
Yeah.
And some people are saying, no, as you know, there are many Christians who live together even though they are not married, okay? It's not right. So now some people are saying we are too narrow-minded, we are in a straight jacket, we are inflexible and all this. We honor scriptures. We honor scriptures. The ACDP is founded on biblical principles. And we believe to be honored by God, we need to honor him by being obedient to him, by applying his word, believing his word, and so on. All right, we are people of the book. Now, main reasons why some Christians do not, the majority of Christians or people who call themselves Christians in South Africa or people who follow the Christian religion do not follow the ACDP is the ACDP has strict moral code that many don't appreciate. All right, they would say, no, we agree with you, but 1, 2, 3. Okay, and then we also are not supported by many because we have many Christians, unfortunately, who still believe what I used to believe. I don't condemn them because there was a time when I believed that Christians should not be involved in politics.
Sure. Yeah.
So there are a good number, a big percentage of churches and Christians who say we should not be involved in politics. The reverend is wrong. He's making us do what the Bible does not teach. And unfortunately, they are wrong. And that is what I taught, that Christians should not be involved in politics. The same Christians who say we should not be involved in politics, when they are in their churches, they will say, our God reigns, our God reigns. If God reigns, what makes it wrong for his children to reign also?
Yeah.
Okay? They say God is the ruler. All right? Now, Jesus used to say, what I see my father do, that I do myself. And so that's what I also said in the beginning. If my father rules, what makes it wrong for me to rule like my father? Because my example is my father himself. So you have that group of people who say Christians should not be involved in politics. They are on the grandstand looking at the mistakes that government is making. And when government makes mistakes, they complain. Like spectators in a football match, all right? They are looking at the match and they say, hey, when we are Glisa, when you are playing nonsense, hey, when we don't like you, come out, come out. If you say to the same person, here is the ball, show me how to do it, they will not be able to show you. So I'm saying before we are critical, let us be examples and show people how to do it. Okay? We complain about politicians who are corrupt. Hey, they are corrupt, they are corrupt, they are corrupt. You ask the question, which profession has the most corrupt people? People will say politics. Why? Because people who walk in the fear of God, people who were told you are the light of the world, rather than show light, they stay away. So there are a number of reasons why Christians do not support the ACDP. Either because they do not have the personal relationship we have with Jesus Christ, or there is also a group of Christians who say they want to show appreciation to those who are in the struggle. Those who are in the struggle. In the beginning, they said, no, Nelson Mandela is our freedom fighter. He's our leader. We want to support Mandela. Michelle, where were you? I said, I was involved in the Ephesians 6 struggle. Okay, if you read the Bible, there's another struggle, not just political struggle, there's also a spiritual struggle. That's why in Ephesians chapter 6 it says we do not wrestle, we struggle not against physical entities but against spiritual powers. So there are a number of reasons why some people do not support ACDP, but I believe the tide is turning. People's eyes are beginning to open. People are realizing the ACD, the country is descending into a slippery and slope. And then ultimately, it might be in the abyss. And we have to save South Africa. And for South Africa to be saved, prayers only will not be enough. All right? Christians must come to a state where they say, Father, use us for the sake of the future of South Africa. Use us so that together, because we want to be your hands and your feet on the earth. And as we work with you, your blessings, as we obey you in the political arena, will come upon the nation. South Africa, unfortunately, foreigners are leading us in many things. Look at universities. Majority of lecturers out of the country, they are foreigners. You look at townships, spaza shops. We used to have them. They are taken by foreigners. It's like in everything, foreigners are taking over. Why? Because you read Deuteronomy 28. It will tell you. If you do not obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands, then, among other things, you will be always borrowing and never lending. And borrowing, unfortunately, even from foreign nationals. While we appreciate and love foreign nationals, they should not be ruling South Africans. South Africans, open your eyes, because once you say this has to come to an end, rise up as a God-fearing person. Rise up as a person who believes you are salt of the earth and God is going to bring changes in this beautiful country of South Africa.
Awesome. Now that's really lovely. Do you have any, do you want to ask the next question?
Yes. We've got the next two questions. I'm going to sort of ask it in one. And if you can give us, well, actually, it's one question with three parts. It's relating to the government of national unity. So just for anyone watching outside of South Africa, in our last election, the ANC, the ruling party, only got 39% of the vote. And so they've had to basically form a coalition, and they're calling it a government of national unity. For some reason, they want to call it a coalition. And so what we wanted to ask you, Reverend Meshwe, about the GNU, the government of national unity, number one, why was the ACDP not part of it? And then secondly, also, what is your view on the government of national unity? And what were the key issues, you know, that led the ACDP not to be part of the government of national unity?
Okay. Pastor Gavin, people who are truly based on biblical principles, their intention is to follow the guidance of the scriptures. Our policies are based on the scriptures. Now, the main reason why the ACDP declined to be part of the government of unity, we knew that all the parties that will be under the government of national unity will ultimately support ANC policies. There is going to be a policy clash. As you know, that the government of national unity right now is teetering on collapse. The DA has promised, has threatened on a number of occasions to pull out. They say, we do not agree with some of the policies, particularly, they say, when it comes to education, we believe the rights of the parents must be respected. No, the government does not want to do that. So the DA threatened to pull out. You look at the HR. You look at what government is planning to do with the health insurance. Okay? Health insurance for everybody. Sounds good. Sounds good. So ACDP and the other said, we are not ready for that. It's not going to work. If the hospitals you have right now are struggling with shortage of staff, shortage of doctors, and in some cases, shortage of medicine. If now you want to broaden the scope and say we want to have insurance for everybody, health insurance for everybody, whether you have money or not, ladies and gentlemen who are watching, they need to know that it is not possible to give everybody free everything they need free of charge. It's not possible. I mean, it's like if you are a family and you are a wealthy family, you decide, okay, because we are family, that is generous, we want to give everybody in our city what they need free of charge. It's not going to happen. Money does not grow on trees. And we look at the tax base of South Africa. How many people are paying tax? How much money, how much revenue does government have based on people who are paying tax? So the DA has been pushed, NHI, to say, because the government is adopting NHI, they don't have enough doctors, they don't have enough medication, they don't have enough hospitals. Are public hospitals going to be open to everybody in the street? Are they not going to collapse? The fact is they will not successful. They will not be successful. They're going to collapse. So the issue of policy, policy clashes, is causing the government of national unity right now as we speak to shake. They are not united. They are not one. It's on shaky ground. Now, one of the only reasons or the only benefits that have come as a result of this government of national unity is that the arrogance of the ANC has been dealt a death blow. The ANC in the past, they were not consulting anybody. They treated the opposition as a non-entity or as, well, with disrespect. In order not to use a word that is going to upset people, let me just say they treated the opposition with disrespect because they didn't need them. But now because they're under 50%, they're only 39%, they are forced to talk to other political parties. That is one of the benefits that has come out of the government of national unity. They have to consult in order to get people that will give them the additional 10% or 20% they require to pass a budget. They consult much more than they have ever done before. They're arrogant of doing things alone, regardless of what the others think. that has been the death blow, that has been broken. That's one of the important benefits that has come out of the GNU. But ACDP said, we do not want to betray people who voted for us. People who voted for us, they said, you cannot support the ANC. You cannot support the EFF. You cannot support people who undermine scriptures. Who said, okay, we agree with you. We will not do that. Now, an opportunity for to be members of GNU came. They said, come and work with us. And we said, what about our policy that life starts at conception? What about our policy that it is the children belong to their parents and not to government? What about our policies that are given to yours when it comes to discipline? What about our policies that believe that people should not look at government as Father Christmas? We believe in working hard. Make opportunities, government. Make opportunities for people to work with their hands. Work hard to create wealth for the country. Rather than teach them, our government will provide everything for you. It's not working. That's why they don't have money. You ask them, we need more hospitals. There's no money to build more hospitals. We need more medication. We need even sheets for the hospitals we have. There is no money. They will just tell you there is no money. Why? Because they projected themselves as a Father Christmas. And the ACDP believes God's word that says, the Lord will bless the works of our hands. South Africans need opportunities to work with their hands, rather than government providing everything for them. I understand there will be others who need to be given a push start, okay? A push start. For some time, they can rely on handouts, but not forever.
Yeah.
But when you look at government, how things are happening, 18-year-olds, they get, for every child you make, they get some money in the way of a grant, and the ACDP says no, no. Don't pay children for making children with money. Don't give them money. Do you know, my children grew up, all right? My children, when they were young, in the 80s, we were in the U.S. I was studying theology there in the U.S. They had a policy, there's a policy in America that for parents who cannot benefit, including foreign nationals, obviously, parents who do not benefit, they would be given, they have a policy where they would be given vouchers. And those vouchers specifically to go to stores that are approved by government to get what they need to live with. Okay? Food. Do you know that as a family, we are a family of five. We could live on the grants from government because we get to the shop. You are guided. You buy. That money would not include Maguinya. Okay? Did not Maguinya have no vitamins? Okay? Just fat, make you fatter like they are big and fat themselves, you know? So they would give you money, grants. You take a coupon. You go to a store. To give, make an example, you go to Pick n Pay. That store limits what that coupon can get. It limits that. You won't buy beer with that. You won't buy, go to the shopping, to the hairdressers to do your hair with that. No, it was only to eat, to make sure that the family eats well. The baby eats well. Meal formulas for the babies. In South Africa, unfortunately, they are not doing that. They are giving them money. Much of that money gets the brothers take it and they buy liquor, and the sisters go to do their hair. They get from Argentina those nice, you know, since they will know better. Okay.
They
use that money for that. It's not helpful. So the ACDP is saying, our policy is, we are not going to say you older or people who are not working, you will not get money. No, you'll get assistance in the form of grant. And that grant, that coupon will give you what you need to live a healthy life.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why we are not part of that, because we agree on policy. And I'm sure many people who are hearing me, they would agree that it would be better for people to be given coupons. You want to go to school? They know how much school fees is. They give you a coupon to take to school and to get your fees or you get your books. But what is happening today? Money is wasted. Money is wasted. And so because of policy differences, we said we are not going to be part of this. We don't want to compromise the voice we have for Bible-believing Christians in particular.
Yeah, sure. That's really good.
Thanks. We've got two more questions. The first one is just with regards the whole thing that happened, you know, with the budget and the situation with the VAT increase, and then the DA took them to court with the EFF. You know, what your take was on that? Just our take was it was sort of like a show. That's what we felt. Because then when they passed the budget, they've passed it now with a substantial increase again in the fuel levies. And, you know, from our perspective, the government's taxing people too much, you know, as it is. And although the VAT was highlighted in the media, you know, they haven't highlighted the fuel levy, which is also going to hurt people very much. So what was your take on the whole process that transpired, you know, with the budget and then also now with the framework that they've just passed?
Now, if you listen carefully to what the parties have said, including the ACDP, we said because we want to see progress, we want departments to have money to operate, we will support this fiscal framework provisionally, okay? It's a temporary thing while the nitty-gritties of how much money is going to be spent for what are being looked into. Okay? It is not to say that it is over now, the budget has been passed. No. It's not that. We just said because we want to move forward. We want to show our intent to see progress happening. We are not happy with the fuel levy. Definitely we are not happy. And those who say go to court, it's true. That's why we don't condemn those who want to go to court. If we had money, we would have done that ourselves. ACDP doesn't have money. You know, we depend on what the IEC gives proportionally to political parties. You go to liberal funders. Many funders who are funding South African politics are liberal. And they say, we don't agree with your policy. And you saw that before the elections, parties that were new on the block, they would start with 10 million rands. Mm. 10 million rands gift. Why? Because they agree with their policies. ACDP would say, we are also in politics. We have been there since 1994. Give us, they say, we don't agree and will not support your policies. Then we'd go to churches and say, hey, pastors, you are wealthy. Hey, leaders, you are wealthy. Christians, support us. They say, our money is for the ministry and not for politics. Then we say, but this for us is also, it's a ministry. The eyes of the Christians must open because politics is a ministry unto the world, part of the ministry to the world. As you know, the word minister is a biblical word. It is not the unbelievers who decided we are going to have a ministry and a minister of sports, we are going to have a minister of agriculture. Where did they get the word minister from? From the church leaders. So we have these ministries that should be operating like ministries in the church, guided by scriptures.
That's good, yeah.
But because Christians don't see the need, they don't see and understand that even the word minister comes from scriptures. The scriptures, the prophets, the writers of the gospels and of the word of God did not borrow that word from the ungodly, from politics, but the politicians got that word from church, because early Christians were also involved in politics.
Yeah.
But there came a time where they became so irresponsible that they said, no, we can't do that only. If I may give a biblical example, as you know that we are Christians.
Amen.
When there's a very interesting story in Matthew 14, when the disciples, after Jesus ministered maybe for how many hours, I don't know, how many days, I don't know, They said to Jesus, the multitudes are hungry. Give them something. No. The multitudes are hungry. Send them away to go home to get something to eat. And Jesus surprised them. He said, no, they are hungry. You are responsible. You give them something. And I'm sure they must have asked questions. But Lord, we are called to cast out demons. We are called to preach the gospel. We are called to lay hands on the sick and not to feed the people, because feeding the people is the work of the Catholics. Who said feeding people is the work of the Catholics? Feeding people has to be the responsibility of people with compassion.
Yeah.
The ungodly don't even have the word compassion in the vocabulary. Politicians don't have that. They don't talk about that. Compassion and care, these are words that you find in the church. And yet the same people who are praying for each other to be compassionate, to be a caring people, they don't want to care in the political arena where there are resources that are being wasted and that are being stolen. So we opposed that increase. But as time was going on, we became concerned that there will be no progress until government passes a budget. And then we said, provisionally, let's support this budget, okay? And between now and when finally allocations are going to be made, we want to see some changes. The framework, fiscal framework that the ACDP supported has come with conditions. It's not a blank check. It has come with conditions. Why? Because you wanted progress.
Yeah, sure. That was a very good answer to that question. Now, recently, one of the biggest topics in South African politics, and I think I would say American politics, not that much though, in American politics, has been
It's on a lot of the podcasts, so it's become...
We've become
big news in America. Yeah,
yeah, it's become a very big topic and situation is the whole visit with President Cyril Ramaphosa to Donald Trump, and then the fact that Johann Rupert was there. And and a lot of people have spoken about the fact that they were not really happy with the fact that Johann Rupert was at this meeting. So what is your view, firstly, on the whole meeting and what had happened in the meeting, and President Ramaphosa's response after the meeting when he had come back, and then also Johann Rupert's involvement in the meeting?
You know, we have to be realistic and we have to have compassion. We have to ensure that we do not reject people that can help to build the country. Johann Rupert, I don't know the reasons why he became part of the delegation, why he was invited. I'm sure he was invited, and this is speculation. Maybe he was invited because he's a successful businessman who can help to rebuild this country. South Africa needs to be rebuilt. Roads needs to be, the road infrastructure needs to be rebuilt. When you see, because of the potholes that are all over, we cannot sustain our roads with patching the potholes only. They have to be redone. And to be able to do that, you need money. So people like Johann Rupert, obviously, he has money. He's not only one with money, but why specifically him, I am not sure. But the important thing that I want to say to my colleagues, to my fellow Black Africans, it is that when we want to rebuild, let us involve everybody who says, this is my country. I have children, and I want my children and grandchildren to continue living in this country, regardless of the color of their skin. I understand many of our people are angry because of what has happened in the past, because of apartheid and many other things. But I want to say, as a Black man, a Black Christian, we cannot be angry forever.
Yeah.
We cannot be angry forever. Let us think about our children and great grandchildren. Let us think about generations to come. If we are angry today, we die. With this anger, we have left nothing, no future, no good future for our children and next generation. So I'm saying, let us help each other to overcome our hurts, to overcome our bitterness, to overcome our anger, and say, hey guys, let us think about our children. Let us think about the next generation. What are we going to leave them for? These potholes, these dilapidated buildings we see all over, is this going to be the history that we want to leave behind us? And I don't think that is fair. I don't want to be part of that. That is why I have told the people in the ACDP, told the people in the church, as I'm saying it now, let us overcome, regardless of the deep of the depth of the pain, but let us overcome bitterness against each other. Let us overcome hatred. Some will say, no, but I don't hate anybody, but the language speaks. Yeah. That's why the song, kill the Boer, kill the farmer, regardless of what the courts of South Africa have said, I say it's wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot talk about killing and dim time. You can't. And South Africans have to come, particularly we that are black, we that were hurt, we that were abused. We need to say, I mean, some people think I was not abused. I didn't feel the pain of apartheid. I was never in jail. It's true. But I understand that I cannot be angry forever. I cannot hate a white man because of what he did, and also to my brothers. Maybe let me tell this one story as an example. One of the most painful things for me as a black man in this country. One day we were allowed, because my father was a policeman, okay, a disciplinarian, okay. One day there was a boxing tournament at the police college. So we were invited there because of my father's status in the area. There was a seven-year-old boy. We asked the question. The seven-year-old boy came to my father and kicked him. And my father said, that a seer claim basi, that a seer. Can you imagine the pain it left in my heart? And the father said, skopom vir, seven-year-old boy. He went again to my father, kicked him. My father said, that a seer claim basi. For me, because that was done to my father and not to me, was heartbreaking. But I had to come to a stage when I became a born-again Christian to understand that my God and my Savior expects me to forgive. He reminded me that when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, it was not after humanity said, Lord, forgive us. Yeah. He said, forgive them. Even though those who were abusing him were still abusing him. And he said, Father, forgive them. Why? Because he was looking at our salvation. So I'm saying, for us to have a great South Africa, a prosperous South Africa that will care for its young, so that when we pass on, our children will have a great future. We have to overcome the anger, the hatred, the bitterness that some of us still feel in our hearts. Some of the things I understand, it's not easy to forgive when you have gone through trauma. It's not easy. That is why there is a savior and a mediator called Jesus Christ. That when it is difficult, then you can say, Lord, I want to forgive, but this is too much for me. I cannot because of 1, 2, 3. Lord, help me. I can assure you the Lord will help you.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to end with the Bible verse, and then Pascal, you'll just speak on it. In Proverbs 29, verse 2, it says, when the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan.
Yeah, so that's a very important statement there. And I just want to say, you know, it's been a pleasure for us to actually interview Reverend Meshwe, and interview a politician that actually agrees with what we believe.
Yes.
And what the Bible says. And I love the answer, for example, around not entering the GNU over issues like abortion and human sexuality and all of these issues, you know, which the Bible is very clear on. And so, you know, we've put all these evil laws in South Africa, and this is what I maintain. And I remember at the time, and I'm sure Kenneth Meshwe will, Reverend Meshwe will remember, you know, there were many debates on TV in the 1990s, at around 1994. And Christians were saying, if you pass these laws, if you pass laws that allow pornography, if you pass abortion laws, you're going to unleash forces on this country, and it's going to bring terrible harm to the people of this nation, and terrible harm to the nation as a whole, and also it's going to hurt the children, you know, of the nation, and all of that has happened. Christians were saying, if you legalize pornography, that you're going to see an increase of rapes, and you know, we were all told we're old fashioned, you don't know what you're talking about, and all of this sort of stuff. And what I see is that the enemy has really made a big effort to make sure that those debates are not seen today by people, because people would see that what the Christians were predicting back then has actually come to pass. And so, you know, I just wanted to say, like what Reverend Meshwe was saying, with the whole thing regarding Christians not being in politics, we need people like Reverend Meshwe to be the president. I'm sorry, that I feel very strongly about that, because until we have people like Reverend Meshwe that actually, you know, make decisions based on the Word of God, we're going to have a challenge. And also, just to say to the pastors out there, there's two things that we all need to realize as pastors. Number one is the fact that the church is the hope of South Africa, and we need to support a political movement that's actually going to support the church. And the second thing is, we need to support politicians like Reverend Meshwe, who actually come out of the church and can bring about a godly voice in the parliament, because too often our voices are not heard.
Yeah.
Too often in the media our voices are not heard. But you know what? We're the ones that need to change it. And again, I just want to say, in my opinion, the mess South Africa's in is the mess it's in because of the church, and because we're not getting out there and stepping out there into the world and doing what we're supposed to do. And that includes feeding people. It's I like what Reverend Meshwe said. Yeah. It's not just for the Catholics. It's for all of us Christians. And the second thing is that includes running for councillors, you know, running for governing bodies at schools, and running for parliament. You know, my desire, and I think it's something that we need to pray for, and I'm going to ask everyone that watches this to actually pray for it, is that the church will start getting behind the African Christian Democratic Party, because I don't see anyone else, you know, that talks like this. I've heard Gayton McKenzie support Israel and a few things like that, but he doesn't say what Reverend Meshwe says. And so I really feel that we need a recalibration of our politics. And I believe there's a lot more, Reverend Meshwe, I just want to say, I believe there's a lot more people that ascribe to the values that the ACDP stands for than don't in this nation. I know we've got a lot of sin and all of that sort of stuff, but people look up to the church in this country. And, you know, we respect you a great deal. So I just wanted to say that from my side.
Yes, this has been an amazing show. Thank you so much, Reverend Meshwe, for joining us in this interview and giving us your awesome insight. And I love the fact that you've used so many biblical examples and stuff to show that we can get involved in politics as the church, and not for corruption or anything, but just to better our nation as South Africa. So thank you so much for having us. It's been a really, really awesome show right here on Active FM. Radio has never been better. We've had myself, Cynthia, but you know, you can call me Gix, and
Gavin Inson,
Pastor Gavin, and an amazing guest, the Reverend Meshwe. Do you have any closing remarks?
Yes, thank you very much. I was hoping that I was going to get an opportunity for closing remarks. Can I say three last things? Number one, if we say Jesus Christ is Lord, he's not only Lord over Christians in the four walls of a church, he is Lord over all.
Amen.
And if we want to see the Lordship of Jesus in the political arena, we need God-fearing men and women to enter that field. Secondly, many Christians want to be politically correct. I pray and wish that Christians should move away from political correctness to biblical correctness.
That's good, yeah.
If we have Christ in us, let us look at issues through the eyes of scriptures. What would Jesus do if he was in this position himself? Would he agree with this immoral law? Would he agree with this immorality? Obviously not. So we do not become popular when we become biblical correct. We become unpopular. But I pray that Christians should choose, particularly those who claim that the day I stand before God, I want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."
Amen.
That is what I want to hear. And if there was time, I was going to tell you the day I heard those words when I was in Parliament. I know, if I may ask, Cynthia Geeks, I heard you are your geeks, ne? if I may ask you, even if this is not going to be included, you can use it later on. But because whenever I tell, let me tell this story, and you'll see when and how to use it. When the Constitution of South Africa was going to be passed, was going to be adopted, the ACDP was the only political party that voted against the South African Constitution.
Amen.
Sure.
It's the only political party. The National Party, Mr. de Klerk said, "We don't like this, we don't like this, but we'll support." And then the IFP, the late chief delegates would come and say, "We don't like this, we don't like this, we don't like this, but we'll support." Constant Viljoen, Freedom Front will come, "We don't like this, we don't like this, but we'll support." When it was my turn to speak, I said, and remember, South Africa never had as many foreign journalists for an event in this country, except maybe sports, like that day. The cameras, the gallery in Parliament were full of these foreign journalists with their video cameras. When the ANC would say, "We support the Constitution," there would be an applause all over, including on the gallery. And then the National Party, "We support," all parties come, "We support, we support, we support," there would be an applause, including on the gallery, smiles all over. The Lord gave me a word. Psalm 33, verse 4. It says, "The word of the Lord is right and true." I took that verse and went to speak. And when I spoke, I said that because this constitution is opposed and it undermines the word of the Lord, it cannot be right and it cannot be true. Therefore, the ACDP will vote against it. When I said that, it became dead quiet in the house.
Sure.
So I had to leave the podium to go to my seat. As I went to my seat, Satan spoke into my ears and into my mind. He said, "What a fool you are. You made yourself a fool before millions and billions of people all over the world who are watching this important event. Before them all, you did not support. What a fool." So as I went to my seat, I think 10 meters became like 10 miles. I walked hearing, "You are a fool." The cameras, I looked at the cameras. The cameras were turning with me. The world looking at the number one fool of South Africa. My father, one of the things my father taught us, boys, he said, "Never cry before a girl." Never cry. No matter what has happened, don't cry before a girl. So when I heard those words coming from the enemy, "What a fool," I felt like crying. But I looked at the women in the house, and then I thought of my father. I cannot cry.
I held back my tears. I wished the earth could open and I hide myself, but the earth did not open. But when I came to my seat, after hearing those many full, came to my seat, when I sat down, the Holy Spirit spoke. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, well done, sure, thou good and faithful servant.
Sure.
They did not give you a single applause, but heaven is full of angels,
amen,
that are applauding you, sure, for that righteous thing. I put my head on the desk and wept. And I said, my Father, for having done your will today.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So, pastors in particular, let our goal be to honor and to please the Lord in everything we do, so that the day we leave this earth, we will hear the words.
Amen.
Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Reverend. It's Reverend Meshwe. It's been an amazing, amazing show. Right here on The Political Show, where Christ Politics is.
Hot Politics.
Hot Politics.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.